evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people that I knew from high school on Facebook posted stuff on Facebook which was factually in error, and then complained because I posted corrections to their factually wrong stuff and got upset because that's the way I wanted to do Facebook, which contradicted what they wanted to do with Facebook. Part of this is also to follow up with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me under pretty much all the social media places under / Shujin Tribble plus Shujin Tribble at Shujin Tribble. That's my nickname. Yes, I did that to Nick, by the way, on Friday night. That was actually pretty funny. I was born to a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, and I'm an unabashed atheist. There's a little bit of a change in the lineup tonight because of, well, stuff we'll explain in a couple of moments. Start up the lineup tonight from south of me over into Pittsburgh. Good morning, Joey.
You would do that to me right as I have a mouthful of popsicle.
Not my fault. Whatever you want to call that is fine. Whatever helps you sleep.
Hey. No, it's not. It doesn't help me sleep at night. It helps me keep cool because it's humid as heck.
You can say hell.
Central air conditioning.
Yeah, don't have that. So bite me. Hi, everybody. My name's Joe. I'm the resident jerk off. I was born to a Roman Catholic family in Chicago, Illinois. I spent 8 years in the military, and now I'm living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania as a graphic designer, a gun nut, and an atheist.
Moving slightly down to the right, on Renode Tech, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I'm on Renode Tech. Despite living in a southern state, I was actually raised in New York, and go Northern States. I'm a atheist. I'm also, in several respects, an anti-theist. I was born into a mixed religious background, practiced some, studied others, and at the end of the day, it's all a bunch of crap.
Moving across the pond over to England. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Shujin. I'm Chris, currently based in Preston in the north of England. Was raised vaguely Catholic, but it never really seemed to make a lot of sense once I started thinking about it, and so rapidly became an atheist, and didn't really pay a lot of attention to this until through the skeptical community I started seeing what actual harm and damage to real people that nonsense beliefs, including religion, have on real people. So I've started becoming more angry and more active.
And finally, south through the channel, over to Paris. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. My name is Joseph Schomburg. I was born and raised Anglican in London, Ontario, Canada. And around 1989, I moved here to Paris, France. I've never left. Critical thought and independent thought. And that's it.
And for what it's worth, apparently the Wi-Fi signal that you're stealing off of is not being really nice to you right now.
Is it really that bad?
It had you cut down over there, yeah.
Yeah, I think the crabs are chewing on the undersea cable.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Well, we'll see how it plays out, of course, as always. Meanwhile, as I was saying, yes, there's a little bit of a change up in the lineup. Dallin is currently traveling on business. Bridget is trying very desperately to get a computer up and running. She's getting blue screens of death all over the place. I would make some kind of a joke about Linux, but that would be actually rather self-centered of me, and I wouldn't do such a thing.
Hey, Joe, I heard that Gadians are hatched. Apparently eggs are laid in early fall, hatch midwinter. The pucklings slowly make their way up to the forest to forage for syrup amongst the moose.
I'm sorry, what was that again? when you first started,
it, corner.
It began breaking up. So I don't exactly know what you were talking about there.
Oh jeez, everybody's connection shot tonight.
Well, just yours and his.
Thanks ever so much.
To be fair,
okay, I'm gonna reboot. To be fair, so do your thing, Susan. Okay. I'll be right back. See you in a bit.
To be fair, Dallin's down here in Pittsburgh.
And he hasn't come to visit me.
Well, it's business. What are you going to do?
Heretic Woman's supposedly down there, too.
Oh, yes. Right. He's got time to go ahead and stop by Primanti Brothers, but he doesn't have time to come visit me.
I'm lonely.
If you had the choice of going to Primanti Brothers or to go see you, which would you choose? That's what I thought. Anyway.
Place over here makes excellent pulled pork. Screw it and say, screw you all.
It's all right. And yes, Heretic Woman is down riding motorcycles in the Appalachians, so that's perfectly understandable. You guys have yourselves a great, safe time out there. I hope that you're enjoying yourselves. The pictures on Facebook look like you guys are having a great time and got great weather.
A motorcycle?
Yes, quite sure. Saw the pictures and everything. Anyway, we will...
Jack, behave yourself.
Yeah, like that's going to happen. Meantime, let's get everything started over here and talk about a couple of things while we're at. But in the meantime, with apologies to Noah and Heath and Lucinda from The Scathing Atheist with 5 minutes on the clock, your 5-minute freestyle starts now. I'm really hard-pressed to not make this a Power of 10 version. I'm really, really, really hard-pressed not to. Because we got done with our show last week, and as I was telling the guys, it takes me an hour and a half to, you know, come down, slow down enough so that I can get to sleep, which for me puts it at about, at a minimum, 2, 3, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, I'm ready to go to sleep, really, really ready by that point, even with the coughing. So I wake up. And I roll over and I check my phone because, you know, sometimes there's a couple of messages that come up and sometimes there's messages about activity on the videos or whatever might be going on. And I got an alert for news from the BBC. The highest court in Saudi Arabia has upheld the punishment for Raif Badawi for thought crime. For trying to say, let's have a place where we can talk about something other than Islam. Maybe it's not such a good idea to cut people's heads off for, you know, voicing an opinion, to borrow from Scathing Atheist. I'm pissed because, A, it makes no sense. It's absolutely nonsensical. Not whatsoever. Now, your particular opinions about capital punishment be damned for a second. This is a punishment for somebody who said, let's talk about something. Let's talk about something other than this. That's what this is about. This is about theocracy. This is about you will do what the Holy Book says based on the way that we think that you should be doing it, and that's it. And if you don't fall into line, we will find a way of making you wish for death. And that's what it's going to be coming down to. Since I didn't mention it, and at this point in the future, you guys might not know about it. Raif Badawi's punishment is 10 years in prison. And 1,000 lashes, and a very large financial fine. To their credit, Canada has actually said, look, we'll take them off your hands. Just send them this way. You'll never have to see them again. You'll never have to hear from them again. That'll be it. He'll be gone. It's effectively the same thing. Why? Why am I this upset? Why should me, somebody who has absolutely zero experience with dealing with international matters, why should I be this upset? Why for one person to be dealt this really, really crappy legal injustice? Why should I be so upset about him? There's, as been said before, 19,000 people that will starve to death every day. And admittedly, I don't shed a tear for them because they're not foremost in front of me. And I know that. I understand that. I'm not proud of that fact. Why am I upset about him? Why do we keep Raif Badawi in our thoughts and in our attention? Because he's in a position that he doesn't need to be, he shouldn't be in, that no sane person would say, you have a different opinion, therefore you should die. Worst case, if somebody were to say, you've got a different opinion than me, so what? Let's go take it out back and fight behind the schoolyard. Let's take it up in gym class and beat each other senseless with dodgeballs. You're telling him that he's going to die. For what? So you can keep a theocracy in place? Sure, why not? What's one of the other reasons why I feel bad, I feel frustrated about all this? Simple. Because in my country, in the United States of America, there are people who are trying desperately to make theocratic laws to stick. Texas, Oklahoma, Indiana. More and more and more. That's the example. You want to see what the slippery slope looks like? Look to Saudi Arabia. Look to Raif Badawi. There's one person's injustice that's going on. Guys, just cut it out. Nobody needs this. This is episode number 68, codenamed Duggar Lemma, and we'll be talking about not pedophilia, not pederasty. We're not going to be talking about the Catholic Church specifically, nor are we going to be talking about 19 kids and counting. We're going to be talking about the culture of panic behind it all, hiding all of it. And believe me, there's a lot in all of that. Since Heretic Woman is not here to remind us, yes, as I mentioned, Raif Badawi is not in Canada currently, and we are still hoping, as the recording of the show, that currently puts his incarceration at 2 years, 11 months, 28 days, since he was unjustly jailed. And, as is becoming the custom, we say a very large welcome to the countries of Romania, Israel, Portugal, Malaysia, and Japan. Thank you for watching tonight. If you're watching live, of course, please take advantage of the question and answer system that's here. We'd be more than happy to answer those questions. If you've got a comment that you'd like to tweet also live with us, you can hit me at Shootin' Triple or at Holy Crap TV and see what we can do about all that. And of course, if you would like to send an email, you can send it over to podcast@holycrapthevlogcast.com. And the voicemail line, if you would feel so inclined, which is still virginal at this point, is 859-HCTV-554. 859-4288-554. We've got some stuff over in the Q&A, and I'm going to get to that momentarily. So, before we get into the meat and potatoes, like I said, I was fortunate enough to have been asked as a last-minute replacement on the Imaginary Fringe show Dotcom Podcast again this week, for one episode at least. So thank you, Nick and Jake. And by the way, Nick, shut up. If you listen to the episode coming up, you'll get it too. Oh, shoot, which episode? You know what? I don't even know what episode. I don't think he said which episode number it was. He may have forgotten. You know what? Jake's drunk. Whatever. It doesn't really much matter. We'll come with that. So, we're going to end up talking really carefully about this stuff. And like I said, we're not going to be dealing with the actual child problem. We're going to be dealing with the culture behind it all, the stuff that's been hiding it. And we would be completely remiss if we did not start off with the 19 Kids and Counting show, The Duggars, because this is, of course, very hot and heavy in the limelight, and it's an incredible story for how many different pieces are involved with it. So I don't know who wants to pick up at this point to give a little bit of starting off and deal from there. And don't all volunteer at once. As usual. Not helping. Thanks, Tech. Appreciate that. Okay. Let me get the real quick one on this one. I forgot which network it was. Was it A&E?
TLC? I believe it was.
Or Learning Channel. Yeah.
The Learning Channel. Yeah. How did the Learning Channel air a show like that?
The same reason why the SciFi, the History Channel can do Aliens.
The Aliens?
No, hold up. The same reason why the History Channel can do Duck Dynasty.
Oh.
There is a very good point.
See, ancient Aliens, at least it has something to do with friggin' history. Maybe wrong history.
The guy who keeps going Aliens, the one with the wild hair, he looks more and more like a Centauri from Babylon 5.
It's been done, okay?
I'm sorry, he looks like one.
Oh, Mr. Garibaldi, it is so wonderful that you take the time with me. Please, lend me your wallet.
Yeah. It's about as good as I get at this point. I've got other voices I do much better, but another day.
We try to smile a lot here, Pep. And as for dodgeball, yeah, I'm in. But right now, I'm thinking more dodge a wrench for some of these people.
Dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Yeah, so 19 Kids and Counting. The idea was that these are... wait a second. If I remember right, I do believe that these folks were part of the Quiverful movement?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. I was trying to remember that part.
Well, I was just going to say, I have to admit, my experience with these individuals is not that good. So forgive me if I trip over myself here and there.
That's all right. I mean, that's all part of the show, man. Anyway, so the show 19 Kids and Counting, literally it's a mother and father who have 19 kids and potentially more. Maybe, although there is the old adage that, you know, madam, it's not a toy. You need to give it a rest once in a while.
Katie, you're absolutely...
Her uterus breaks down.
Katie, you're absolutely right. And to quote one of our TV greats, remember, folks, spay and neuter your pets.
So I will get to looking over the Q&A as soon as I can look away. But the 19 kids, I mean, that's an amazing amount of work that any one body could possibly go through. And unfortunately, just from explaining what it is that is going on here, there's a lot to unpack. So let's go with the first piece, the Quiverful movement. Basically, the short answer. Well, you know what? Who wants to go ahead and do that one first? Otherwise, I'll do it.
I've heard of it, but I'm not really sufficiently up on it to give anything cogent there. So go ahead, Eugene.
Yeah, considering it's O-Dark Stupid in the Morning, like we mentioned, but somehow it doesn't totally surprise me.
Well, it kind of reminds me of World War II France, where they actually had an ad campaign trying to get people to have children because they needed to build their army post-World War I, I think.
That is not too very far from the truth in this particular case, yeah. The idea with the Quiverful movement is exactly that. Breed as many Christians as you possibly can so that you have more armies for the army of light in the coming times of the end times, Revelation, Ragnarok kind of... Or not Ragnarok, that's the Avengers movie. I'll talk about that later.
More to Rapture.
Sure, yeah, I don't... You know what, I thought...
There's an actual Wikipedia entry for the Quiverful movement. And it says it's a movement among some conservative fundamentalist Protestant couples, chiefly in the United States, but some in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, United Kingdom, and various other locations. It sees children as a blessing from God and promotes procreation, eschewing all forms of birth control, including natural family planning and sterilization. Several thousand Christians worldwide identify explicitly with this movement. It's just... Wow, man.
Well, I mean, if you think if it is 20 kids... or 20 people per family, that's only 50 families for 1,000 of them.
Still, the point of it is the idea is to just make as many people as you possibly can.
I take it, is this yes. Because they've given up on converting anyone, and people like the FFRF keep like trying to sue them when they bring Christian indoctrination into schools, so the only thing they've got left is to have hundreds of kids of their own and indoctrinate them.
And in a lot of cases, even worse so, homeschooled, specifically indoctrination of homeschooling, if I'm saying that properly. Please forgive me, the coffee I'm drinking tonight is a little different from normal, so it's sorry. But
what did you put in it?
No. My main coffee machine has a piece that's broken, so I just need to fix that before I can reuse that. So I actually use the old Mr. Coffee with the coffee grinder, and it's a little different. It's a little inconsistent, so it's a little off.
You know, there's an author, and I forget the name of the author, but he writes a series of books called the Chris Longknife series, or Chris Longknife Universe. And at one point in the story system, they come across an alien race that's physically, there's a lot of similarities between them and human beings, except there's enough genetic diversity that we would be able to mate with them, or vice versa. And they have these ships that dwarf our ships in this science fiction future. And one of the mentalities of these species is to continuously breed and breed and breed and breed and breed and breed, because at one point their race on their planet was almost extinguished. So they took basically the concept of the Quiverful. And I'm wondering if the author actually was familiar with the Quiverful movement and put it in as a storyline.
That's interesting. I wouldn't think so. But at the same time, as a separate piece, I mean, it makes perfect sense. You fall back to the way that nature does it, especially frogs and toads especially. You have hundreds and hundreds of them with the hopes that, you know, a dozen or more will survive. I mean, it makes sense. There's so many different areas where that's just common to have happen. So, see with that. By the way, a couple of things. Item one, Pep, I'm not censoring your stuff over in the Q&A. The Q&A can very, very easily get overrun with social commentary. So I try to weed out the stuff that is not questions, but I try to take the stuff that is older and not necessarily needed anymore and take those out. I've still got them available to me if I want to go looking back through them if I made a mistake. So don't worry about it. I if there is something that is germane that we're going to handle, I will make sure that it gets in there.
All right, so simple version for those of you playing at home, playing along. Too long didn't read. In the question and answer box, witty banter, bye-bye. Questions, moved up.
After a little while, yeah. Katie, however, has got an interesting point, and yes, as a matter of fact, this is something I hadn't been thinking about at the moment, but you're quite right to bring it to the attention. She says, quote, "This is actually the mentality behind the Catholic Church's stand on birth control, which is to mean nil. You're not supposed to use birth control." Now,
you're not even supposed to use the breathing method.
Rhythm, I believe, is the only thing that you're officially allowed to utilize, but even then, that's maybe frowned upon.
Is that where Jesus is in the backdrop of your intimacy moment and beating on drums? One, two, one, two. One.
Drums, sure. Yeah, that's what we'll go with.
Beating on drums. Drum,
you know, it rubbed off on him. Not the boy. That would be sick.
Anyway. But the quiverful movement is exactly that, yeah. Just breed, just have kids as much as you can. Now, what has caused this to be a problem is, well, not that specifically, but because one of the older has been identified as, well, you know what? Screw Fox News. We're going to call it what it is. We're not going to whitewash it. We're not going to call it inappropriate touching. We're going to call it what it is. Child molestation. That's exactly what it is. Whitewashing be damned.
How old was he at the time?
He was, I believe the earliest 14? One was 14 or so, yeah.
Okay.
But some of the victims were going down to age of about 4, I understand.
Jeez.
There you go.
The point is that, you know, the whole concept, somebody brought it up in the news, and the whole concept was, they're playing doctor. Doctor is usually played by two kids of around the same age. They don't know what the other person's body parts look like, and they kind of sneak peek behind the couch, and that's kind of it. This guy was, at age 14, sexually molesting a child that did not have the mental faculties to give consent.
Exactly.
And at age 14, should know, should have already been taught the concept of consent.
Yeah. Now, the piece that we're going to be dealing with is not that directly. We're going to talk about the pieces that have been happening behind the scenes to hide it, to put the scandal, whitewash it, and get it the hell out of the way so that it isn't a thing anymore. For instance, what about things? Sorry?
How about education? Prime example, my son is 9. He already knows the concept of the birds and the bees, and he also knows the concept, he's already been taught and has demonstrated understanding that if you're near somebody, you don't touch them without their permission. That goes as far as giving a hug. You know,
I think more of the issue that we want to address is on the cover-ups, the whitewashing, the fact that there's people, including people who want to be a president, that are stepping out and supporting this kind of behavior.
Exactly. One of the problems that had come up is that a state police department was told by a judge, a state's police department, they were told, shred the records of the complaint from before.
But they basically couldn't legally do that.
And that's part of the problem that we're going to talk about. Mm. How should somebody be able to get through shredding records of not obscuring, to erase, eradicate, I forget what the right term is for it, expunge, sorry. How do you expunge a complaint like that? When, by all rights and accounts, the methodology for it in that jurisdiction is you have to go through a big, long rigmarole, months long, to go through a lot of channels and pay lawyers to go through all of the methods to make sure that it's done right and it's all above board.
Actually, I've been through an expungement of records, a false report filed against me by my ex. And it was actually relatively simple. My attorney had told me, said, listen, after 3 years, you go to this court over here, you tell them you want to file an expungement, then they notify the police department. And all you do, once they have filed with the police department, they send you a confirmation that they've done so. And then once the police department's done, they send you a confirmation that they've done so. Bada boom, bada bing, all done.
Yeah,
and that's how it works where I live.
Yes, Chris. I've got a suspicion that for a complaint that is has been confirmed as false or malicious, or for a minor matter, that process would be significantly different to a complaint that has either been supported or could potentially be supported.
Whereas the Duggar thing wasn't even investigated.
Yeah.
Well, according to the judge, the reasoning that the judge said it was okay to do an expungement was because it was considered to be minors.
Which is completely antithetical to the method that law should be in place for, which is to protect the weak, the innocent, those that can't stand up for themselves. I mean, isn't that what law should be there for? And if not, what the hell is the point? I mean, it's supposed to be there to protect those that need protecting, or at least that's the way that I think of it. Maybe I may be a little on the cynical side these days, but what the frick? I mean, really? You deal with kids. The innocent, the people who are relying on the adults to keep track of them, to keep them safe. I mean, what do you tell a kid? If there's something wrong, you find an adult. Well, if you're 5, somebody who is 9 years older than you is effectively an adult by comparison. And that's a big breach of trust, especially in your own goddamn family, for crying out loud.
And here they're playing.
I was going to say, how many people have testified as adults that when they were a child, that they were molested or accosted or whatever terminology you want to use by a family member or a friend of the family or a stranger or whatever, they told their mom or their dad, and their parent told them, don't tell anybody. You need to shut up. And they treated the child like the child had done something wrong. We Joseph, have cases of that throughout history.
True enough. Joseph, you were going to jump something in there?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, by the Duggar's actions, they're actually playing both ends of the game, which is quite hypocritical, because they're pleading innocence for children, but as adults, they're defending his behavior.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's absolutely disgusting to me. His own parents went ahead and they apparently spoke with him. They, from what they had said themselves, dealt with a situation that he had gotten himself into, said that he had a problem or...
three times. Exactly.
Yeah. And one of those times took him to a...
sheriff?
A counselor, and I'm using the term very, very broadly. Apparently spiritual a religious... counselor. A spiritual counselor. That's a good enough term for it. I would... You know what? I'm going to quote from a movie right about now, from History of the World Part 1, and the incomparable Mel Brooks. Oh,
it's good to be the
a
cape.
Bullshit artist. Because what did they do? They said they talked to him. They said, you're not supposed to do this because fear of God, and don't do it anymore. That's 14 Hail Marys and eat a cracker. Dominus Fabiscum, shithead, go away. And
wasn't the counselor himself condemned for... Duggery?
That's a... Well done, sir. Well done. I see what you did there. Very good. But, yeah, apparently the guy sometime afterwards was... No, I forget if it was convicted or not. I believe he was convicted. I've forgotten off the top of my head. Doing child diddling or child pornography or some other such thing that was completely hypocritical to exactly this thing. I'm sorry?
You talking about the sheriff now?
No, whoever that counselor was.
No, the sheriff. They told the sheriff, and the sheriff supposedly. They told a sheriff. The sheriff supposedly sat down and had a talk with him. And the sheriff was later on. Ended up getting charged with two counts of child pornography, the really bad kind. But in addition to that, they also took him to see a priest or something like that to receive spiritual guidance.
And yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and later on when he did it again, they sent him off to a friend of the family to do some like home renovation work or whatever, to, you know, his penance.
Yeah, and it all came down to this guy is now, all these people involved, for the most part, I can't say all, for the most part, a lot of these people involved for trying to supposedly, and I'm going to use air quotes, help this whole situation, have turned out to be as bad or worse. And how the hell do you rectify this whole damn thing? And please forgive me for using the term rectify with all this, because I was also going to go ahead and say, like, there's the good kind of child pornography. Yes, I know. There are different types, there are different styles, there's different classifications, and unfortunately my poor brain knows full well that there are certain things that are illegal, that are not immoral. But that's a conversation that we may eventually have. Probably not. There's a whole big wrinkle about that. We may talk about it sometime in the future. You're just going to have to wait and just trust me that there's a piece of this that I'm not talking about right now, and good for us on that.
And if we really want to talk about morality, how sad is it that a brothel is being the figurehead of morality in this case?
What, explain that?
Yeah.
Allow me to explain.
Please.
Who here is familiar with the Moonlight Bunny Ranch?
It is
in Nevada, and it is one of the few legally operating brothels in the United States.
Yep, because it came into creation just a couple years after my senior thesis.
The owner has declared, this Josh Duggar, and I quote, as a persona non grata, starting now.
Wow.
He's officially banned from the Moonlight Bunny Ranch.
Wow. Now let's kind of put this in perspective for a second.
You gotta do something wrong to get thrown out of the Bunny Ranch.
Okay. Yeah, so when a den of sin rejects you, you've really got a problem.
That's like Lucifer coming up from hell and going, dude, you got issues.
I've got some issues here.
It's actually kind of funny the way he explains it. It's a matter of math.
I've got a couple of issues there. A den of sin and any sort of, I mean, after all, prostitution's an honest job.
No, he's referring to it as seen through a biblical lens of the current level of biblical understanding.
Here is the...
I want to accept that there were priestess that if you wanted to fornicate, but with somebody other than your wife, you would go to the temple or the church and fornicate with the priestesses.
Here's what's absolutely just... I can't take it seriously because it's that funny, but the owner of the Bunny Ranch, Dennis Hoff, explained why he's banning him. quote, "My number one priority has got to be the safety of my girls. We employ 500 girls at any one time. We've had tens of thousands of them come and go over the years. With the Duggars having 19 kids, it's just simple math that the odds are much greater than usual that one of their daughters might actually come to work for us at some point. So there's no way I would ever put them or any other girl in harm's way should that brother of theirs come prowling around here."
Jeez. That's really sad. Now here's the thing.
My hat is off to you.
Way to take the piss.
Yeah. Now here's the thing. We know full well that the likelihood of these religious upstarts, I'm probably using the wrong terminology, but you know what, screw it, it's late, I don't care, going to visit a brothel, a whorehouse, a house of ill repute, whatever you want to call it. And
heard it very well spoken of, actually.
Yeah, exactly. As far as I'm concerned, it's one place that's basically saying that you're not welcome here, and the likelihood of you ever coming here is virtually nil anyway.
Hold on a second.
Isn't that insinuating he was a client?
Well, he's male. No, let me rephrase that. He is human, ergo, he is a potential client. The point that I'm going for is the likelihood of this guy, this one individual, going to this one particular establishment is pretty, pretty small. Admittedly, it is a very, very small chance. But for this person, in one of the most visible sex-positive places in my country, to go ahead and say, you know what? No, we're not going to take them. That's a big freaking message. Because, like it or not, this guy has got a huge, visible public impact by being able to say, look, we run a nice establishment here. We got some good people here. You're not coming here. No matter what. That's a pretty big deal. Now, I would think that it would be an even bigger deal if, let's say, the Netherlands, who licenses and keeps up on this whole thing, were to say, no, not allowed to come visit us either. Or Canada, which has got prostitution legalized by the high courts, in which, yay, go good on you guys. If they were to say, you know, no, we don't want this guy coming up here and frequenting our people.
I would say that's those two issues are irrelevant. Whether a private business wants his custom or not is fair enough. If a country doesn't want to let him in because he's a piece of crap, then that's fine. A country should not prevent a person from entering based on the possibility of them using the services of any business within that country.
True, but
whether they have certain businesses legal or not, it shouldn't even be a factor. It should be like, do we want this guy here at all for any reason? Yes or no? I'd go with no.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you on that one.
And don't ignore that. I think the Bunny Ranch thing, it smacks a bit of self-promotion.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah. Sure, duh. But again, in the U.S.
At least it's a positive self-promotion.
Yes.
We have higher standards than the Duggars.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
that's not saying a lot.
Yeah, and
most
again,
people have higher standards.
Yeah, considering that in the United States, prostitution is at the very minimum frowned upon, if not codified as being absolutely illegal.
The amount of money wasted on trying to prevent prostitution could be better spent on actually regular, ordinary, run-of-the-mill violent crimes.
And to be fair,
I did a whole thesis on it.
We are neither condemning nor condoning the act of prostitution. We are condoning a adult person's right to do as they see fit with their own body. You don't support prostitution? That's great. Don't go and hire a prostitute. That's how you don't support prostitution.
Yeah, and in the U.S., where sex is very, very Victorian, very repressed, very prudish by comparison to the vast majority of the rest of the world. I mean, we can't have women walking around topless because why? And so,
in the U.S., you can have somebody on television having their throat slashed, but you can't show a nipple.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about that. I saw Batman.
Oh, Shijin. And yes, if you're saying that about the Victorians, you probably never heard of any of the stories or journals that have come out from what went on in Victorian England, particularly regarding like the Victorian whores of London.
Oh, Oscar Wilde had a lot to say about that. churches and brothels being interdependent.
Well, I will admit I'm probably using the wrong terminology, which would not at all surprise me, but you basically get the idea.
Yeah.
Over here in the U.S., we have a very large ramrod stuck right up our rectum, which is kind of ironic considering how much we don't like sex and the gays and the whole thing. That's a whole other issue for later.
And that's a kind of specialist service, Eugene.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't usually pay extra for that because I don't
have to get extra for that.
See, Nick? You know what? Nick Morgan Moore. Now I know how it feels to step on somebody else's joke. I get it now. Thank you. I appreciate that. Anyway, so here in the U.S., sex is frowned upon in so many different ways. So for one of those shining examples of sex positive, for them to come out, yeah, it's self-promotion. Of course it is. But they have got the spotlight on them for exactly that reason anyway. Why not use your superpower for good? I mean, you really can't argue with that part.
Oh, well, I am so sad that this is not a power of 10.
As a great doctor from secular sexuality always says, give yourself an orgasm or somebody else. Use your powers for good.
In this case, that would be the wall power, and that's a Sibian, but we'll talk about that another time. So the problem that we've got right now is we're still not dealing with the piece that's important.
Yeah.
The background of it all, the hiding, the three-card Monty, the pee under the cups, shuffling everything around, all the information around, all the actors in the situation to hide them.
Yeah. And I can only think of two reasons why somebody would do this. One, okay, I get it. It's your son. You want to protect him. But what about your daughters? Are you willing to really sit there and pick and choose one child's safety over another? Let alone four or five. You want to help your child? If your child does wrong, get them help. That is helping them. Trying to hide it, not helping. Secondly, the only other reason I can think of is, oh, how will this look on me? How will this affect my
business?
My public appearance.
Yep. Now
you want to talk about that? How bad do you think your public appearance is when you hide this crap?
See,
how bad was the public appearance anyway?
Well, you know, that's beside the point. I'm trying to be serious here, damn it.
Yeah. When I open up the show, I specifically talk about the Streisand effect. Now, for those of you that, for whatever reason, don't understand this reference, let me give you a real quick explanation on this one. The whole thing started with Barbara Streisand, who got upset because a photographer got pictures of her place in California from out over the water, I believe in a helicopter, and she sued to have those pictures basically not be able to be used. So the pictures got out because everybody was clamoring, well, what are these pictures? And all of a sudden, there it is. The pictures are just flooding all over the place, no matter what she wanted anyway. And it's exactly the same kind of thing. You want to go ahead and tell people they are not allowed to have something? Oh, that is the best way to make sure that something gets out there. Because yeah, people will just
Americans, for it. Yeah, at least in America, when somebody tries to actively cover something up, everybody wants to know what it is. Well, what is it? Why are they doing it? You know, yada, yada, yada. And it's just, you ignite people's curiosity, especially when it's a public figure.
Very much so. That's why whenever there are accusations that come up, especially very well-founded accusations of people who have been bashing homosexuality and all of its forms, who are suddenly being accused of soliciting for illicit affairs, let's say in a bathroom with a very large stance at an airport bathroom where you might be tapping somebody else's leg.
In a parking lot and there was wonderful case of, was he called Gaylord something? A conversion therapist who got caught aggressively propositioning people in a parking lot.
And you know what? If his name wasn't...
It can work both ways, too, because there was one young lady who is a pop culture icon. I forget her, who it was. I can't remember if she was a singer or an actress or what, but some naked photos got out. And she said, you know what, enough of this crap. And she took some provocative photos and she released them to the general public. And she's like, here, you want to see me?
Right.
Look at these. These aren't doctored. Have a nice day. And you know what? The interest just died overnight.
Right, because the illicit factor is no longer part of it.
Exactly.
And that's something that we share with cats. If we can't have it, we want it. And those of you who are cat owners, you know exactly what the hell I'm talking about.
Like cats, once we have it, we don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, sure, exactly. Yeah, when you've got it flooded into you, what the hell are you going to do with it?
And now you know why I don't own cats.
That's one good reason why. But now, see, here's the problem. That Streisand effect that we were talking about, you don't understand the power of the dark side is a great line in this case. The parents went ahead and they tried to whitewash it. They tried to dig it under the carpet. Not sweep it under, dig it under, so that it was buried. And then what happened? Word got out. Word got leaked. A little piece here and there. A phone call comes in with somebody's voice doctored that says, follow the money.
You try to sweep it under the carpet, sooner or later, you're going to trip over the bump.
You know what? Before we go any further, Joe, explain to everybody what the follow the money line brought down. You would be the closest to, yeah.
Okay. Follow the money. Pretty much. Who's funding the show? Where's that money going to? Who's paying who for what? And really, beyond the show, it goes to any possible situation. You want to find out what's really going on? For example, why a politician happened to vote this particular way. Look at who's supporting his campaigns.
Yeah.
Oh, gee, I wonder why this politician voted to go ahead with this new oil drilling rig. Oh, he's got primary sponsorship from ExxonMobil.
Amazing how that happens. Mm. And to show just how far-reaching the expression follow the money is, Chris, Joseph, either one of you want to chime on this one and let me know, do you know what the reference, besides the film and possibly some other Rule 34 stuff, the name Deep Throat?
Well, that's Watergate. And a movie.
Sorry, I guess I missed that one, Chu. My bad.
That's okay. Chris, I'm assuming then that from hearing you, you recognize at the very least the name Deep Throat.
Not until Joseph mentioned it, but I do make the connection now.
Okay. Tech, do you want to do a real quick recap of why Deep Throat and Follow the Money come together?
Richard Nixon was a little bit before my time, too.
Yeah, I think the connection...
I'm only in my 30s.
I think, actually, Shujin, you have to explain the connection.
Well, unless Joey feels comfortable enough with it.
I mean, I can Wikipedia the damn thing, but if you want...
Well, Deep Throat was the informant who revealed the Watergate scandal. The actual phrase is never actually mentioned in the nonfiction books that preceded the film All the President's Men, which is where they used the catchphrase, courtesy of William Goldman. But you start to follow the money, and you don't know. You would be surprised at where it takes you. You know, the fact that you start with, say, a simple drug investigation could result in, you know, investigations of political figures.
Yeah, that's
who benefits from it.
Yeah, and it depends as to how far back you really need to go in order to find that one out. Now, we know full well that there's the whole 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon, but you don't need to go nearly that far. Maybe two steps back from somebody, you may end up finding out that there is a tangled web of money, drugs, prostitution that connects up with somebody who's high in political circles or somebody at the top of a company that would be in really bad shape if word would have come out. And I'm thinking of you, Elliot Spitzer, you freaking moron.
We got a few good examples of that one, don't we?
Yeah, if memory serves, Chris, just a couple of years ago, wasn't there somebody in Parliament that was taken down for exactly that type of scandal?
I can't remember a particular one. They come up time and again. The biggest thing over a couple of years sort of relating to that was more of MPs' expenses, where they were spending the taxpayers' money on all kinds of stupid shit and claiming that it was for... parliamentary business use, and a lot of them got taken down for that rather than for being paid by someone nefarious.
Yeah, and Joseph, because it's going to be news for quite a while over in Europe, especially on the mainland, I should say, the scandal that's come out now with the administration for FIFA, which, again, is a whole bunch of money and intrigue and people... I mean, I'm assuming you've heard about that one.
Well, yeah, it's general knowledge that they're beyond they're corrupt. Well, the corruption in FIFA is it's been how do you say it's common knowledge, but it's not spoken about. But now it's coming to the surface, and yeah.
Yeah, and the investigation for the money, the kickbacks, I can talk.
Well, like Dubai being chosen as the next World Cup capital. That's pretty obvious. But I really don't see the connection with the Duggars.
Well, the point is that the intrigue goes really, really far. That the money will be used, or can be used, to look back, to try to find out who is benefiting, how, why are they benefiting. And money is a huge, huge draw, as we know full well. People do a lot for money.
Okay, for them, all you have to do is investigate who's financing the show, who's financing their legal defense.
That's exactly the point, though.
Oh.
They are making money from the show, and somebody else is making money off of them from the show, producing the show, whatever. So they want to keep that show as bright and shiny and appealing to as many people as possible. So something like this happens, it's not just the family that tries to sweep it under the rug. It's the entire system that is behind them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
So you can't just point the finger at the mom and dad and say, you done wrong, or at the son and say, you done wrong. It's everybody involved.
It's layers upon layers, yeah. Yeah, Chris.
Even those who get told, or who, you know, want to, you know, actually do something about it, and then get told, don't you say a word, or you can find yourself another job.
I think Joseph, Joe in Paris here just hit on a very important point with the FIFA thing. The corruption's been known or suspected as sort of common knowledge for some time. And you use the phrase that it's been known but no one speaks about it. And this has been happens a lot with the sexual abuse cases, particularly in religious organizations, but also but not limited to that, where people know stuff is going on, but they don't speak about it. People don't want to wear their or their community's dirty laundry in public. The same kind of thing is linked to stuff like divorce rates, domestic violence. People hark back to a golden era in like the 50s or whatever, and they say, well, no one was getting divorced. You never heard about like domestic violence or rape cases or teenage pregnancy or whatever their perceived social ill of the 21st century is. And the thing is, all of this shit was going on. People were stuck in unhappy marriages. Spouses were getting beaten up. Young people were getting pregnant, STDs, whatever. The problem was just no one talked about it and no one could talk about it. And there's this culture which is gradually, I think, changing in many areas of life. But in religious communities, often people know that there's something creepy or dodgy about someone in the community, but they're not going to speak to it, and they're definitely not going to speak to it about it to anyone outside the community.
That's a good point, actually, because this golden era they're pointing to is actually an era where they did have social domination over people, that social pressure, peer pressure, or whatever you want to call it, was enough to shut people up.
And, you know, on the subject of the church, because let's face it, they've got the same stuff going on. It's a lot easier for them, though, because, oh, I better not investigate a church. I better not investigate the church. I might go to hell. But here's the thing. You got to keep in mind, The church may not be built on money, but it sure helps. And the Vatican, with its $8 billion in revenue, just how much money do you think they spend covering their stuff up? For example, there was a case in St. Paul.
Just recently coming up, yeah.
How much did they have to pay to not only get this guy out of the church, but also to shut him up? Let's see. He has received since 2002, $19,000 a month in disability for life, $800 a month in rent for life, and $980 a month to replace his Social Security up until he reaches 65 or 67, when his real Social Security would kick in. And this is just one guy.
And that doesn't even include however much went on with lawyers beforehand, writing up everything. Plus, if it's settled out of court, of course, there typically ends up being, with the Vatican and the Roman Catholic churches, gag orders. Mm-hmm. You settle out of court, okay, we will go ahead, we will pay you exorbitant amounts of money so that you can just shut up. And by the way, this paper that you're agreeing to says you will never, ever again talk about this to anyone ever, or we will sue you for breach of contract and take or, every cent that we've ever given you and then some.
Or the real nice one, the one that they can use to jump legal loopholes. You'll shut up about this or you'll be excommunicated.
Yeah.
You shut up or you go to hell, quite literally.
Yeah, Joseph, you were going to say?
No, nothing much. I forget what I just said. Sorry, it was just a point.
Sorry
about that.
Yeah. Tech, did you want to jump in on this one? Because I noticed that you've been noticeably not jumping in just yet.
Yeah, if it's about my video, my camera's being spotty right now.
No, that's okay.
But, yeah, what Joe hit on with the threats, part of all this cover-up is a result, in my opinion, okay? I'm not a psychologist or a theologian or any of that, but from my experiences, my general educational background and observations, these kinds of cover-ups are a byproduct of the culture in terms of you have religious background. Do not argue with the religious figures. Do as they tell you. Believe what they tell you to believe. Believe what you're indoctrinated to believe through these books. Anything else, you're in deep trouble. So now you have somebody from really, really high up in that indoctrinated background going, you must not talk. You must not say these things because we are threatening your eternal soul. And then the other part is the background of the people who came over the aversion to human sexuality, to understanding it, to accepting it as part of natural force, the natural responses and of how the body works. We don't talk about it. We don't accept it. We don't anything about it. So you combine them together and you have all these people who are afraid to talk about sexuality. You have people who are afraid to hear other people talk about it, and they just want it to go away.
That's one of the things that absolutely frustrates me the most about the scandal, specifically with the Vatican, the Roman Catholic Church. And before anybody goes ahead and says anything about it, we know full well that this rabbit hole goes down with not just the Roman Catholic Church, but pretty the vast majority of religious sects, to the best of my knowledge, and my knowledge is faulty on this, have had some kind of scandal like this.
It's not that it's the only target out there. It's just the one that has presented it itself easiest.
It is the biggest. It is the most noticeable. It is the one that gets a lot of attention for the breadth and scope and the visibility of it. And yes, Joseph.
Yeah, they're the most, they're the most centralized system, so they're the easiest to target. What's going on with all these ministries and all that through North America, that's a little harder to examine when it's spread out so much.
Yeah, and so many variations of it, too.
Yeah.
Because you have one church that says, oh, yeah, we'll go ahead and marry gay couples because they love one another, and our church preaches loving one another. That's okay. And then you have all these other churches going, well, it's not okay in the book, and it's not okay in our history, and not okay in a... And suddenly they're being ostracized.
Yeah, there's a big difference between 30,000 Christian sects, all with slightly different stuff that they believe, versus one church that believes one thing with 30,000 outlets all filtering in. There's a little bit of a difference in the overall scope that way.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really excellent way of putting it.
Jumping from one foot to another, you're too busy to look around at all the smoke being blown up your ass.
Speaking of which, we can't bypass this. Joe and I have both come up through the Roman Catholic ranks. I will not speak for him, and I will not ask him to divulge. I will go on record, however, as saying that I was fortunate that I never had to deal with anything on that angle. I was not an altar boy. I did the stuff that you're supposed to do because you're supposed to go to Sunday school. You're supposed to go through catechism. You're supposed to learn all the stuff and do all the sacraments and then, you know, all nice.
Yeah. Thankfully,
I was fortunate that way.
Yeah. Thankfully for myself, before I even got to the age where this typically happens, I was pretty much excommunicated anyway.
That's a blessing in disguise, so to speak.
Quite literally, after my parents divorced, you know, I had not known this, but it came to my knowledge that my mother was actually my father's second wife, his first wife having divorced him. Because the Catholic Church does not recognize divorce, they saw my mother's marriage to him as null and void, and considered myself and all of my siblings born out of wedlock. And when my mother, after divorcing my father, had moved us to Ohio and tried to take us to the local Catholic Church, namely to get my younger brother and sister baptized, the preacher at the church quite literally stood at the door and said, "There is no way I'm allowing those bastard children into my church."
Which
how did he know about it? That's scary.
Well,
they keep records.
Yeah.
They keep the Roman Catholic Church keeps a lot of records. Just like the Jews
probably
do this too.
Confessions and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's not a matter of, you know, my mother randomly walked up and this guy just happened to be there and say
No.
It was a long set up issue, and you know, it finally culminated in that. But essentially, myself and all my siblings are sentenced to purgatory no matter what we do, so.
Well, become a Mormon.
Yeah, or unless, of course, you know, the Catholic Church goes back on that whole purgatory thing, but I don't know one way or the other what they believe anymore on that, so.
What I think is amusing is so many, I've heard so many religious people go, "You're going to purgatory." It was like, well, you know, actually, technically, that's better than hell. Because hell is a system of punishment. Purgatory is just an existence without God.
Yeah, purgatory. Well,
okay. I'm fine with purgatory. Yeah. Bye bye.
Yep. Yeah, as I understand it, purgatory is basically just a waiting room, and you just have to listen to the girl from Ipanema until your ears bleed. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Supposedly, in purgatory, you still have a chance to redeem yourself, but by the time you get into hell, that's too late.
Now serving number 14,328,000.
Hold on.
I'm taking a reference from Beetlejuice. I'm sorry. What?
I caught that, but just real quick off track topic.
Oh, as if we haven't been.
Well, still. Anybody here ever hear or see a animated show called The God, the Devil, and Bob?
I've heard of it.
I haven't even heard of it.
I recommend it sometime in your life. It's not what you think it is.
Okay.
I will say this right now.
Is it anything like Moral Horror?
Kinda.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. So it's gotta be a trip. All right, so the Roman Catholic Church, what they have been accused of and not yet been legally proven has been that they have had in place for a long time, decades upon decades worth, a systematic method of somebody's done something bad, a priest has done something bad, okay, let's move them. Let's say whatever we need to and take them and move them somewhere else. Give them a new identity, give them a new start in life, and just not even have to worry about it. Because they know what they did wrong. They'll fix themselves, of course, because the power of Christ compels them. And I'm probably making that a lot simpler than what it really is. Chris, it sounded like you wanted to chime on that.
Oh, I was just laughing. But yeah, it's kind of convenient for the Catholic Church that they have their own country with no extradition process. As a last resort for when people can no longer keep someone one step ahead of the authorities.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm waiting for somebody to finally challenge in the UN. Are they actually sovereign? I don't think that they have anti-aircraft guns. They can't control their own airspace. I don't think they really qualify, but that's just me.
Yeah,
no, but they have the Swiss Guard.
Oh, that's good. They've got the little puff on their shoes. That's really good.
Yeah, and overseas missions are great, aren't they?
Yes.
But, yeah, and I was just having a quick Google, so apologies for any typing noises over the last couple of minutes. And I was looking at sex abuse reports from like the other large religious groups in, say, the US, like the Southern Baptist Convention, and there are reports all over the place from different states and people that have been arrested and found guilty and whatever, numerous cases, and then you've got the other organization like United Methodists, etc., etc., but because they're not the one monolithic institution, you've got to do research each group in turn, and with like 30,000 of them,
yep,
plus in the US alone, just for the Christian ones, then you've got all the Jewish ones. And then the Mormons and the Scientologists and whatever else, but it seems to be as prevalent in all of them. It's just not all under one banner.
Yeah, but
they all seem to have. And apologies to any ones that have a different approach. I've not been able to find you yet. But congratulations if you are out there. But they all, as far as I can see, have this. We don't have any systematic problems. This is an isolated incident, whatever kind of attitude.
There is a piece that you just touched on that I want to make sure does not fly past us. Yes, we've dealt with the Catholics / Christians. And again, 30,000 sects of Christianity, yeah, you got to go looking through almost every church individually on that angle, versus 30,000 churches all filtering into the Vatican, which is a hell of a lot easier to find. But you mentioned specifically the Jews. And I'm not saying it bad because you're Jews.
And you may have noticed the one that I didn't say.
Which one?
Mormons?
No, I've mentioned the Mormons.
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Okay, I didn't mention them, but the big one I didn't mention was Islam.
Good point.
By and large,
that was implied. Yeah. I got a chuckle out of him on that one.
Because while we've got groups trying to cover it up, in the Islamic world, you've got actually people standing up in public and shouting, yeah, it's okay to marry a six-year-old girl.
Yeah, which is a different dynamic. They're not trying to hide it. They're out there and proud about it, but they've got a societal thing that makes it, I don't like using air quotes like this, but I'm going to do it anyway, okay to do that kind of thing. That's a topic for later, which we will have, because it's a different animal than this one. But this one kind of straddles the line between them. The Jews, the Moyles, children, infants, days old, dying from sexually transmitted diseases. Because the methodology is the Moyle comes in, takes a bit of skin, and I'm saying quote-unquote bit of skin, because it's a lot, apparently, and the traditional method is to lean in there and with your mouth pull blood out through the incision by suction. They fillet an infant and transmitting herpes, syphilis, whatever the hell it is, and kids are dying.
I would like to point out, hold on a second, Chris. I understand that this is a relatively minor group in terms of numbers within Judaism. I'm not diminishing how horrible it is. There are less minor groups that use some kind of hose or glass tube or whatever to reduce risk of disease transmission. And the whole circumcision thing of infants without consent is another horrible issue for a different time. But generally, the sexual abuse thing of people generally is a wider issue and is not limited, from what I've seen, to just these extremist, like, Moyle types.
Okay. If I can generalize, because there's one thing we're missing on here, I think, is just the religion in general, their general exploitation of, one, ignorance, and two, our hormonal tendencies. They're using one against the other just to increase their numbers. That's the entire goal. Like, if you want to talk about the Roman Catholic Church, I mean, celibacy wasn't even preached until the 13th century because this was the big Catholic expansion. And this was instigated so that when a preacher would come to a new town or village that hadn't been evangelized or whatever, that the men there wouldn't feel threatened. And that's the only reason.
Oh, because you've got a powerful person coming in.
Well, not powerful, because when you have a new male coming into the clan, it kind of makes it
more power.
No, I mean, but they're going into a position of influence, and they're backed up by a very, very rich organization, which would increase the feeling of threat.
Yeah, societal pressure for somebody who is theoretically supposed to be in some kind of control and power and prestige.
Yeah, it's kind of like a removal of a potential threat, you know, that this man will come here and take your woman. That was the base of it.
Right.
Without going into the power.
I'd say the other big general thing, certainly regarding all the Abrahamic religions and their various offshoots, is that they don't tend to want to talk about or deal with sex at all. And it's wants to sort of hush it up and like barely admit that it exists, except to say, don't do it, unless it's to produce more of X whatever members.
In this period.
I'm talking the sort of a modern period.
Oh, okay.
And
the context was completely different.
Yeah, no. If you keep all discussions of or sex like completely under the carpet, or as much as you can, then it increases the reluctance of people to come out and talk about sexual abuse, and it also means people are not going to talk about it, report it.
Yeah. I really think
and people are going to, and people are going to hush it up even more because it's anything with associated with sex they don't want to deal with.
Okay, Joseph, hold on a second because Tech was trying to get something in before.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Tech.
Oh, we're long past that.
Sorry. I'm trying. Okay. All right, so Joseph, you're going to say at this point then.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the sexual abuse and all that, it's a byproduct of this this not preaching such a, or not teaching no sexual education. I'm sorry, I'm getting an echo back. I mean, it's kind of getting... But,
I've been getting one back as well for a while.
Joe, yeah. Take one of your earbuds out.
Which, me?
Yeah, because if you're getting echo in your own ear... It'll be easier for you to continue talking with one of your ears picking up the natural sound of your voice.
I'm getting it, and I've only got one headphone on as well, so I don't know where it's coming from.
No. I'm not saying the headphone's going to fix the problem with the echo. I'm trying to say is that when your brain is trying to process the echo coming in from two earbuds directly into your, you know, take one out, and your ear will, your brain should pick up on the natural speaking of your voice.
Yeah, folks, if there's one thing that we've learned about using a free service, we occasionally are at the mercy of that very same service, and this is something that happens. Joey and I will tell you that working with Skype on Friday nights, we have some interesting things that happen like this once in a while, and it's just...
Well,
it's just not
until recently, namely when Microsoft bought it.
Yeah, but look, it's better than net meeting under Mozilla, okay? How's that? Feel better. Anyway,
but I think Joseph picked up on a really good point, and it is it's a lack of education when you refuse to educate somebody on okay, this is safe, this is not. Here's why. Okay, people tend to take that information and roll with it, but when you say we're not talking about this, we're not talking about this, we're not talking about this. People are going to have people have these natural desires and instincts and things like that, and they don't know what to do, and they just act them out because they've been trying to repress it and repress it and repress it, and it's like damming up a waterfall. Eventually, that is going to overflow.
It's just sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just that it's so calculated because what's supposed to happen is that you're going to get these. Hormonal, you know, when you get to an age of adolescence, you're going to get these urges, and the church is telling you, well, you can't do that before you're married, so you're going to rush into marriage, and then you're going to do it without protection, and then you're going to have little believers because...
And be miserable until death do you part.
Yeah, but you've made a new generation of little believers. That's the whole point, because, you know, if you're going to follow these rules, then you're... Chances are your kids are too. It's the beauty.
Yeah, and then they add more rules on top of that to try to encourage control by saying, not only can you not do this until you're married, you can't even stimulate yourself to produce a relief,
which even pushes you
necessary
more
release.
Towards marriage. That's the whole point.
Here's something, and this is a slight tangent off of what you're discussing, but at the same time, it is fully relevant. One of the things that gets my guff the most is how self-reinforcing this entire system is.
Yep.
Because
guilt.
Because of guilt, because I... first off, these are people who are in a position of authority. Be it, you know, religious authority, sometimes political authority, sometimes, you know, corporate authority.
Or even
these are people. These are people who you're supposed to be able to put trust into, and they betray that trust. You know, I'm not saying all of them do, but the ones who have done this, they betray that trust, and all too often we just let them get away with it, because oh, well, they're far too important to besmirch this way.
Too big to fail.
Yeah.
Can I just, one thing? It's good you brought up the corporate influence, because, you know, they profit from the sexual taboos too.
Yeah, and that's the primary drive for this particular situation that we were starting off with the Duggars. You know, it's not necessarily primarily a religious reason that they're trying to cover it up. It's not necessarily a political one. It's a financial one, because their show is a business, and they want to keep it as squeaky clean as possible.
No, that's not true. Now, hold on. We're going to stop it right there. They don't care if it's squeaky clean. What they care is, are they going to continue bringing in money?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Right. Does the viewer count go down, or does the viewer count go up?
Right.
Because negative press can be just as beneficial to the pocketbooks.
Depending on the type of negative press.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be surprised if their audience went up because of this scandal.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. As religious people try to support the Duggars, suddenly now they're watching the show. They're trying to understand the Duggars more. They're trying to commiserate with their being repressed and all that other crap.
And if anybody wants to give us any kind of complaint about that, all I need to do is mention two little words to prove his point.
Here we go.
Duck Dynasty.
Oh, I'd like to also mention another name, Mike Huckabee. One of the things about covering these things up is that now that in society we are talking about such issues more, there is more openness, more information going around, this shit all comes out in the wash. And it may be, as has happened to celebrities or post-celebrities in the UK and elsewhere, it may be 30, 40 years later, but shit comes out in the wash eventually. And when one piece of shit comes out, one crime, one account of abuse or whatever it is, then others will follow, and people will take the one and they'll start looking for others.
It's an avalanche of precedents.
Yeah, and I mentioned Mike Huckabee as this because he stepped in and defended the Duggars, so some people decided to take a look into him. And they found out that the guy he co-wrote or co-published one of his books with has also got involvement with child abuse. And that would probably have never come up. No one would have thought to check.
If the guy had opened his mouth.
Opened his mouth and decided he's going to support something truly horrible.
You just gave me my ending, by the way, for tonight. Thanks.
Yeah, and there are so many cases of that where if you try and cover something up, then it will come out, and then people will be all over you like a rash looking for what else you've been involved in.
You know what? This is, I think, the point where I want us to finish out our thoughts. Because where you're ending us with right there is where I'm going to end up closing with, but I think this is a very, very strong piece to finish out with. Since you had the floor anyway, Chris, what last item do you want to put a final period on that one for?
I don't know. I think that was as far as I was going for the moment. The wheels are still turning upstairs, so I might think of something in a minute.
Okay, I'll come back to you. Joseph, having that as a jumping-off point, what last point do you want to put onto that?
Just it has to do with our information age that, before, in times before, celibacy was something that they could preach because people were limited to what they could see. And that there, like, no sexual education, but you turn on the internet nowadays and you can see whatever you want. So it's harder for them to stay in their bubble, and they're becoming more and more entrenched in it. And that also explains why they're pushing so hard to get into our education, and why they're pushing so hard to get into politics too. It's just getting increasingly desperate, and it's impossible to sustain their systems.
Yeah. Joey, what would you like to cap off for yourself on this?
I've already said all my piece. To put it plainly, I'm half tempted to quote that that Canadian. Yes, I'm bringing up Canada again. They're home to so many wonderful commercials. Yep. Don't you put it in your mouth. Don't you put it in your mouth. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go look it up.
Sure, we'll have to look it up later because I have no idea myself. Tech, what would you like to cap off with on that? Don't worry, Chris, I'll get to you.
My son's 9. His current level of education regarding the human body, what changes he's expected potentially to go through, because everybody goes through something different, but there's a huge similarity in most of the changes throughout the human population. He knows what to expect. He knows not to fear it. He knows that it's normal. He understands that young ladies will go through changes as well. Theirs will be different. That he is to respect the changes in himself as well as in the others. And that he should at no time be afraid of these things. This is a significant... In terms of that education, he is much more advanced than a significant portion of the Christian population, because I didn't preach to him abstinence only. I didn't preach to him be afraid of yourself, or be afraid of asking questions, be afraid of your feelings. I taught him to question them. Ask me, read a book. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear run yourself. And with this foundation, I have I feel that he is prepared much, much more so than almost anybody else that you compare him to at his age range, or even 5 years added on top of that. I firmly feel that I'm of the opinion that had Mr. Duggar had a similar education, that those things would not have happened in his life, because you can fight these things with proper education and understanding.
Okay. And Chris, now that you've had the opportunity of letting the wheels roll a little bit, what else did you want to cap?
It's Tex actually derailed my wheels and made me think of another point on this, that the kind of education that Tex's talking about is, I'm assuming, very age-appropriate discussions and information as, that you give to should give to children as they mature and grow on there. And
yeah, let me elaborate real quick. Let me cut you off real quick, Chris. Yeah. This education that I've given him includes STDs, STIs, safe sex education, prophylactics, things like that. And it occurred over a period of the last 3 years. So it's been a slow introduction, when the moments when he has the attention span for it, when he seems to have a little bit of interest, things like that. So it's one of those slow progression, get him used to it, being normalized, these kinds of discussions, so that he's not embarrassed by them, that he should never feel embarrassment should he start to feel that way, things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Age appropriate is spot on.
Yeah, and I've heard other parents say similar things where at like age 5 or 6 a child's asked like where babies come from, and they've been given a very basic but honest answer without going into any great deals, and they've gone, "Yeah, okay, I'm bored now, gone and forgot about it for another 2 years." And then they'll bring it up again, and you like maybe give them a bit more information when they're ready from it. However,
yeah, you're talking about teachable moments, is what you're talking.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking. That's the better phrase for it than I had.
If they're old enough to ask, they're old enough to know, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the opposition on this always mischaracterizes the idea of wanting to educate people, provide them with the tools to deal with the situations, both that you know that they will come into a come into contact with later in life, and also those situations that you really do hope they will never have to deal with. And it is not, as the opposition keeps characterizing it, that we want to suddenly start like showing hardcore porn to kids and that comes out.
I have been hesitant to do anything with graphical, anything graphical in nature. So far, it's just been verbal. I'm thinking that I may get an anatomy book and show him, you know, how the internal organs differ between men and women, and that, you know, when they go through the changes, these organs can cause pain and cramping. These organs over here produce this, that, and the other thing. But I'm not sure he's ready for that yet, and that's a call as a parent.
Let him decide.
Yeah. Tech, but after the show, I'll dig up, because there's some resources I came across recently for parents that you may find valuable on there, and it's obviously you might want to check them out first.
Sure.
And see if there's something you want to go with.
No, I don't have anything off the top of my head other than a medical book, but yeah, I would definitely be interested in hearing about the resources later.
So here's where I'm going to close this all out with. There are a couple of pieces that were said tonight that caught for me and made me think that it's exactly the thing that we need to remember as we come out of this. And as is usual, these closings, I don't usually think about what they're going to be until, you know, we're in the middle of it all, because I like to pull it all together. There's two pieces that became really apparent to me. Item number one, yeah, it is incredibly, incredibly important to make sure that we are the authority people, the authority figures, the safe havens for our kids, because it's unfortunately no longer an issue. It's no longer a point where you can say, find an adult. It used to be when I was a kid in the 70s, there was nothing wrong with just saying, as a parent, just saying, if something happens, just the generic, find an adult. Yeah, you'd have find a police officer, find a fireman, find a doctor, but just find an adult was enough. It was safe enough. And that's not really the case. Maybe we were looking at stuff through rose-colored glasses at the time, but that's the way it felt for me. If there was a problem, I could go to an adult. We don't exactly have that very same luxury anymore, or at the very least, the differences in perception. It's kind of hard to tell anymore, because, I mean, let's face it, that bell curve is a hell of a thing. But here's the other piece. And I forgot who it was that said it, but the Roman Catholic Church has records.
That was me.
Volumes. Thank you, Tech. Volume. And volumes of records. Pretty much all religious groups will keep records. Volumes and volumes. But, of course, as we know full well, the Catholic Church is one of the largest and one of the longest-running religions. They have information that spans millennia, that spans countries. They have information on all of the people that interact with them some way or other, from birth till death. Here's my last piece. You are a target. Your information may be voluminous, and you may want to try to hide behind, as was done in a really popular movie. You want to hide behind diplomatic immunity. We saw in a movie how that can be taken away. All it's going to take is one properly placed legal bullet. And all that information is going to be out there. Because we talked about the Streisand effect before. You think your image is having a hard time now? When, not if, when those records are completely, fully disclosed, and it's been happening little by little. Chicago, the Twin Cities, if memory serves, Ireland. If these pieces, if these documents, if they follow the money, or more appropriately, follow the data, you're dead in the water. As somebody else put it, you're dead already. You just don't even know it yet. The cancer is your own making. You've been holding all this information from everybody. When it's out, I will not sing a song. I will not dance a jig. I will not play it up when it finally happens. But rest assured, I will not shed a tear for you, but for all those names that are in those records. I will cry just a little bit. And when needed, I will make damn sure that our voices, not mine, our voices, are there to help them to come to grips and to realize they're not alone. And we will help however we can. As always, everyone, we thank you for paying attention to our show. No, it's not exactly the sexiest of shows out there, but we know full well what we have is some interesting, compelling, and needed perspective. I'm coming more and more to the realization that, yeah, we're a good show, and we serve something worthwhile. So thank you. As always, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us under the website, of course, holycraptthevlogcast.com. If you'd like to email or get all of our contact information, you've got it right there on the homepage itself. If you would like to send an email message over to me, of course, shujintribble@holycraptthevlogcast.com, and we can see what we can do. Of course, our happy travels to our co-hosts, Dallin, Bridget, and of course, for Heretic Woman. You guys take good care of yourselves. We'll see you soon. And of course, as always, I want to thank the panel tonight. Joseph, good morning to you, and enjoy your coffee, whatever it's going to be this morning.
As usual. You too, sir.
You called me, sir. Christopher, thank you so very much, and good morning. Have a good.
Oh, thank you, Shujin, and I'd just like to say thank you to our listener as well, and I look forward to hearing which countries you've been visiting next week.
Unrenotech, Thank you, of course. Good morning, and you take good care of yourself, man.
I will. Good morning to everybody else and our viewers, or good evening. Depends on time zone, I guess. And, you know, just keep asking why.
And Joey, of course, thank you, man. You take care of yourself and you get some rest.
You can't tell me what to do. You're not my dad.
The hell I can't.
Go to bed.
Still, good morning. You take care of yourself.
Yeah, good morning.
And of course, it's always to all of you, thank you so very much for your attention, your time. You have yourself a good one. We're going to see what special stuff will come up the next couple of weeks. I got plans in the works to see what we can do for you guys. The soon coming up episode 70 is going to be another Power of 10. We're going to be seeing about playing Cards Against Humanity together with you guys, and you can make comments and such.
Awesome.
And
wait, is this a Hangouts plugin?
No. We're going to be just opening a secondary window one way or another, and we'll see what we come up with.
Oh, boy.
But in the meantime, of course, everyone, stay safe. Our hearts truly go out to the guys from Scathing Atheist, by the way, Noah, Lucinda, and Heath. You guys take very good care of yourselves. I don't need to go into what's happened, but I hope you guys stay safe down there. And we're looking forward to hearing back from you guys and that everything's going all right. For all of you, of course, thank you for your time. I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. And of course, for my lady, it's been 10 years and I'm still in love. Matsune Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. As always, until the very next time we get together, everyone, take care and good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.